ask the Lord to demonstrate his love and to save his life. And because of God's unfailing love, God hears our prayers. God heard David's prayer. And in verse 8 and 9, David had an assurance that the Lord had heard him, the Lord was listening. But it's interesting that God had not yet done anything, and David had a slight nudge that the Lord was with him as he went through this difficulty. The bit that God does comes in verse 10. And this teaches us that even though we might be praying and God has not done anything yet, God walks with us. He helps us. He gives us comfort and strength. And he gives us hope. And it's amazing how many times when I've been praying and the prayer doesn't seem to be answered and someone will say something to me, God is speaking through that person and gives me hope. Hope to continue. Hope to persevere as God runs that race with us, set before us. And there's a little prayer at the end of Psalm 6:4. Davina, would you like to read the prayer?
Lord, I know that your love is unfailing, even if I don't feel it. I ask that in your grace, you give me a sense of your presence at my side. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Davina. And Steve, you've got the next one. Psalm 13:5.
I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation.
Thank you, Steve. And there is actually a but in there. But I trust. And this was written while David was in exile. King Saul was pursuing him. And he's in the wilderness here. And he writes Psalm 13. And he's talking about how his enemies might kill him. And then he comes to verse 5 and he says, but. And when you get to verse 5, this but means there is a change in David's thinking. We see him change from fear to faith. And from doubt to believing God's promise for him. And what's interesting is David's circumstances haven't changed. But God has changed David. David has stopped looking at his enemies and he started looking to the Lord. And here we see when we rely on the Lord, it leads to rejoicing in the Lord. And it leads to salvation in Christ. David never stops praying. And this is the key. Steve, would you like to pray the prayer, please?
Lord, I will pray until my heart rejoices in you. Then I will pray because my heart rejoices in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. And Phil, you have the next psalm for us, 33:18.
But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love.
Thank you, Phil. And fear here means that we revere or we think of God in awe and reverence. We don't know who wrote this psalm, but the psalmist focuses not on the gift that God gives, but on the giver himself. The psalmist waits in hope for the Lord himself to deliver him. Phil, if you'd like to pray that prayer. Thank you.
Lord, I can hardly believe that with your infinite power and glory, you are watching us from heaven, filled with love, always attentive to our needs. You love us more than we love ourselves. Help us to rest in this and to not worry. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. And Graham, you have the next psalm, Psalm 36:7.
How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
Thank you, Graham. Amen. And the Lord himself said, how I long to cover you with my wings, like a hen protects her children. And if you go back a couple of lines, verse 5 says, the love of God is as high as the heavens, as majestic as the mountains, and as inexhaustible as the ocean. Graham, would you like to pray on that verse?
Lord, let us explore the innumerable facets of your love. How priceless is your unfailing love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now we're coming to a key verse in this. Psalm 51, verse 1. Mandy, if you would like to read this for us. Thank you.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Amen. Lord, when we sing... Thank you, Mandy. So Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession. This is after Nathan the prophet confronted him about his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and then his murder of her husband Uriah, which David covered up. David had broken God's law. He had rebelled against God. And this is transgression. David had missed the mark that God had set. And this is sin. And David had yielded to his twisted sinful nature. And this is iniquity. And what dirt is to our bodies and our clothes, sin is to our inner being. Here we see David, he's lying to himself, he's lying to the people, and he's trying to lie to God. But God would not allow David to sin successfully. And in despair, David turns to God and cries out and appeals to his love. And when sin meets grace and love of God, the result is David is cleansed. And he is renewed. And today we have forgiveness in Jesus Christ because of the work he did at the cross. Mandy, if you'd like to pray through this psalm, please. Thank you.
Lord, when we sin, we don't just break your laws, but we break your heart. Help us not just to admit our sins, but to forsake them. Amen.
Thank you, Mandy. Amen. The next one, Psalm 85, 7. This is read by Chris.
Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Now, Psalm 85 is probably written when the Jewish people returned after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And actually, Psalm 85 is really interesting. It's a blueprint for revival. And it actually shows us what God can do when we trust in him. But it also shows us what we must do. We must pray and we must wait for God. And we must listen and be faithful to his word. And watch God move. Chris, if you'd like to pray through that psalm, please.
Lord, send us the living water of your Holy Spirit. You created us to enjoy you forever. Revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. And we're coming to the last psalm in this section, Psalm 147, 11. Sarah, would you read this for us, please?
The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Amen. So I have a question from this psalm. Is what do we owe God, who gives us everything we have and keeps us alive every second of our life? But you know, it gives God pleasure and it gives him delight when we put our hope and our trust in his unfailing love. And that's the first point. God's love is unfailing. Second point. God's love is a love that endures forever. 36 times this is in the Psalms, over and over again. The psalmist wants to make sure we get this. God's love endures forever. Sarah, would you be able to read Psalm 100 for us, please?
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen. Amen. This is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. And it was used in those ceremonial processes when they're going up to the temple. So imagine for a moment, you're in the procession of worshippers going up to the temple of God. And you reach the gates of the sanctuary and suddenly there's a bursting open of worship. And why are these people worshipping? Because they've come to the one whose love endures forever. Christy, could you read Psalm 107 for us, please?
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thank you, Christy. Memory, could you read Psalm 118 for us, please?
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Amen. And you're going to see this all the way through the Old Testament. It's in Chronicles. It's in the Psalms. It's in Psalm 136, and we're going to look at that one in a moment. This is a community hymn of praise. It was sang at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And how they would do this is they'd speak the first line, and then there'd be a refrain for the whole congregation to say, "His love endures forever." We give thanks to God for who he is and what he has done for us. We give thanks to God as creator. We give thanks to God who guides and protects us. And we give thanks to the God who provides. And you see this in the whole of Psalm 136. We're just going to look at 10 verses in a moment on the slides. Psalm 36, it starts with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." I'll read the first line, and then if everybody could say together, "His love endures forever." Does it sound okay?
Yeah.
Excellent job. Thank you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
And that's the second point. So we've looked at God's unfailing love. And secondly, his love endures forever. I'm going on to my final point. God is gracious and compassionate. Oh, sorry, memory. There's a prayer, isn't there?
I forgot the prayer.
Go back to part two.
Lord, your love endures forever. Holy Spirit, instill this truth into our hearts until it kindles our love, the love we owe to you and the love we want to feel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, memory. His love endures forever. And God is gracious and compassionate. And this is my third point. And Chris, would you read us Psalm 86:15, please?
But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. And this originates in Exodus 33 and 34. At Mount Sinai, God gave Moses a glimpse of his glory. Moses had asked if he could see the Lord, and the Lord put him in the cleft of the rock and held his hand over as he passed. And the Lord declared a self-revelation about himself as he went by. And Moses heard this, and he wrote it in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And then it appears in Psalm 103, 8, Mandy, would you read this one for us, please?
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love.
Thank you, Mandy. And then it turns up again in Psalm 145:8. Graham, if you would read this for us, please.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love.
Amen. It's also in Nehemiah, chapter 9. It's also in Jonah, chapter 4. It is all the way through the Old Testament. And this made me think that when I have thoughts about God that aren't that he's gracious and compassionate, then I need to align my thinking with what the scripture says. And to this verse in my heart, that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's who he is. That's who he himself says he is. And when they dug up, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran, they found Psalm 145 was the most used psalm in the whole of their worship. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. But what they discovered was that they had a refrain after the scripture, each verse. Blessed is the Lord, and blessed is his name forever. So the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Blessed is the Lord, and blessed is his name forever. The Lord is slow to anger and rich in love. Blessed is the Lord, and blessed is his name forever. Amen. And as I was reading Exodus 34, I was astonished, actually, because in verse 7, it then says, God doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. And I was thinking, how can Moses be right that God won't let sin go unpunished? When David says in Psalm 103, God won't punish us as we deserve. I went back to verse 5 in Exodus. It says, God is loving. And in verse 6, it says, God is holy. And then I realized that the cross reveals both of these to us. How God can be both loving and holy. The cross reveals what it cost God to punish sin without punishing us. God, in his mercy, doesn't give us what we deserve. God, in his grace, gives us what we don't deserve. For the sake of Jesus, which is forgiveness and eternal life with him. Praise God. God's grace saves us, and grace is a love which has paid a price. Jesus' death on the cross provides for our forgiveness, and God remembers our sin no more, because God is gracious and compassionate. And that's my third point. So today we've looked at God's love in the Psalms. And we see that all through David's life, when he was sick and old, when he was suffering or in exile, when he was hiding in the wilderness, where he was running for his life, where he was in despair after sinning, God met David at his point of need. Because of his unfailing love. And God will meet us today at our point of need because his love endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to be gracious and compassionate like you to all that you have made. Lord, help us to be patient with the people in our lives whom we struggle and have difficulty to love. Let us love as you love, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And next time, in November, I'm going to bring the series to a close. We're going to look at the prodigal son and the love of the father. And that's in November. That's the final part of the series. I think this would be a good stage to just play a short song of reflection where you can just ask the Lord what he wants to speak to you about. Thank you very much. Thank you.